So, lots of those things that we've read about are about how we as human beings have trouble sometimes sticking to things, you know? And how sometimes, as we live our lives, you know, we say we're setting off on this direction, but then something else comes along and sidetracks us, and we say, we'll do that in a second, we'll just go off and do this, and then sometimes we never find our way back. Sometimes you find that in conversations too, don't you? Where was I going with this? Have you ever heard that phrase? Yeah. And interesting, as we were listening to the different readings, and you listened to this great reading from Kings, and I loved what you said. It's about God saying to us, come back to the way that you were. Come back to the way that you were. And sometimes we do that. We set off and we say we're like the different people that Jesus was talking to in this parable or this story of people he encountered. You know, and people say, I'll follow you wherever you go. But there's a cost to that, and it's not easy. And sometimes Jesus is looking at us and saying, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. But it's not going to be easy. You might find yourself getting distracted. So be careful when you say, I want to follow you, because you can't do it on your own. And Paul gets at that a little bit in Galatians when he talks about the Holy Spirit and our need for the Holy Spirit. And he says to each one of us, and I think this is just what we need to know, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. And it's a little tiny phrase, and actually it's really easy to miss that little phrase because there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on there. But he keeps coming back to that idea of live by the Spirit. In Psalm 16, there's great things in there happening. Did you notice some of those? Like it starts off, protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all others. And God replies and says, all my delight is upon the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people. But he says, you know what? I know there's some that run after other gods. And we sort of have a picture of, you know, some statue somewhere when we read that maybe. But there are many types of gods. For instance, well, I don't know, possessions can be a god to us. You know, there might be the thing that we want, or prestige, that could become our god, or well, all kinds of things that kind of trap us. And going back to Paul, he sort of notes that, you know, there's lots of things that pull us off in the wrong direction, and we head for them instead of what we should be heading for. And those he calls the works of the flesh. Do you want the list? You just heard it, but it's a long list. You think, oh, those are all terrible things, and I don't never want to be a part of those. But they some of those things call to us. Different people get called by different ones. But Paul returns to that idea: you need to live by the Spirit. And if we all would live by the Spirit, our lives would be different. They'll be different from the lives of those people who are around us. Perhaps even more important, they'll be different today in us than they were yesterday. You know, if we turn around and look back at where we were 10 years ago, hopefully you see some kind of progression because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work within you and for the times that you listen to the Spirit. You know, we want to be listening to the Spirit, and every day the Spirit is speaking to you. And every day we sometimes say, I'll get to that in a minute. I'll change that tomorrow. I'll live a different way. But first I have to go and bury my father. First I have to do this. First I have to do that. But God's calling to us in the present moment. And he's saying, I love you in the present moment. And he's saying, I want this relationship with you. And just like he said to the disciples a long time ago when they were holed up in that room in Jerusalem and they were afraid of what was going to happen to them next, and suddenly the Holy Spirit descended upon them. And up until that point, Jesus had said to them, You don't have the power to live this life yet. You know, that's why when, and you all laughed, and I did too, you know, Jesus is walking along with the disciples and he gets rejected by the Samaritans because they're not ready to receive him because he's going to go to Jerusalem. And who likes Jerusalem? And then the disciples say, and they're really self-righteous, they say, Lord, shall we just call down fire upon these people? And Jesus goes, no, you don't get it, guys. And sometimes we're like that a little bit too. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit and to be able to learn to listen to the Spirit's voice to know what you should do and how you should respond to people. We believe in one God, and we know one God by his love for us. The Father loves you so much that he sent his Son to fulfill the plans that God has for us, to set us free from all of those things that keep us self-centered, all of those things that motivate us to live fearfully. Whenever you notice fear seems to be the thing that's guiding your life, that's not from God. There is a righteous fear of God, which is to do with love and the awesomeness of God. But if it's just fear that's guiding you and motivating you in your life, that's not from God. And that great piece of scripture, which probably y'all know and sometimes forget like I do, but I remember it often when I need it. Perfect love casts out all fear. And that's the love of God. Because we know of this amazing love for God, and we know that he has our hand, that he'll never let us go, that he's holding on to it, that he cares about you so deeply, and how it grieves his heart when you say, I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll change tomorrow. I'll listen to you tomorrow. He wants to know that you're there with him, that you love him and you're listening. And of course, he sent his Holy Spirit to enliven us, to give us real life, life worth living, life with meaning, life with hope, life with love, life with certainty that it's God who's in control. You know, sometimes we think, oh, it's big business that's in control. It's Facebook that's in control. It's Google that's really in control. They direct our thoughts, don't they? We're actually supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts. But we get these ideas that all of these other outside forces are more powerful than that, but they're not. God is the most loving, most powerful, most incredible, most beautiful, most wonderful being in the entire universe. And sometimes we have amnesia and we don't remember who we are. Sometimes we lack faith. I remember this story from a long time ago. There was a long time ago, like I don't know how many years, maybe 100 years ago, there was a tightrope walker. And I'm really fascinated by tightrope walking. And this summer, it's my intention to have a slack line. Do you know what a slack line is? It's sort of like a thicker version of a tightrope and you string it between two trees and you try to walk on it and keep your balance. I think it's a great metaphor for for walking with the Spirit. When we walk, I've walked on a slack line. And the only way I could really do it was my son was holding one hand and my daughter was holding the other hand and I was walking on the slack line. And that's like having the Holy Spirit with you, I think. At least when you're starting out, you sure need the Holy Spirit to guide you. There was a guy named Blondin and he would do these amazing tightrope walking feats. And he slung a rope from one side of Niagara Falls to the other side of Niagara Falls. Amazing. And he walked across Niagara Falls. And then he said to the people, did you like what I did? Yes, we liked. Did you think it was good? Do you think I'm a good tightrope walker? Yes, we think you're the best tightrope walker in the world. Who will come with me then? And I'll take you across. And everybody took three steps back, as you would. I would have done that too. So he walked, he said, listen, I'll prove it to you. I'll do it blindfolded. So he got a blindfold on and he walked across Niagara Falls on his tightrope. Didn't fall, everything was good. He says, can I get another volunteer now? I just want to volunteer to see if you really trust me. And nobody did. And he eventually convinced somebody to come. Would you have come? Would you have walked? I would be afraid. So he got a wheelbarrow
And he said, get in the wheelbarrow. And the person got in the wheelbarrow. And he walked across Niagara Falls with this guy in the wheelbarrow. And everybody was okay. And it just, so we're a bit like that. We're afraid to get in the wheelbarrow. We know how amazing God is. We know how wonderful he is. We know that we can trust him. And yet, we don't always. And the more that doubt, I mean, it's not a terrible thing to have doubts and to question things, but we need to come back to the basics of who God is and what he's like, and that we can trust God. And we do that in so many little ways that incrementally, maybe we stop trusting in God as much as we should. And God calls to us and he says, what you need in your life to be able to trust God, to be able to hear God, to be able to really know his presence, is to allow the Holy Spirit within you. God is alive. God is living and active. He's powerful at work in your life right now, at this very moment. God's speaking to you right now. And from the earliest days of the church, the Holy Spirit has been present in signs and wonders and working of miracles and healings and inspired speech and in our liturgical life. He's alive in your everyday happenings. And you can see miracles in that. We have somebody here who's with us this morning, Connie. And Connie, it's okay if I say this? Yep. Connie is here because of miracles happening in her life. She was, sort of, I'm sure lots of you know this. Do you want to come up and tell this? Okay, that'd be better. Better than, or you could stand there and tell this, whichever way you want to do it. Come on up here. I'm so thankful to God for this. So come on up here. Use the microphone so that everybody can hear you. Just tell them a little bit about what happened, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, I went to work on a typical day on May 20th. I parked my bus. I had about 8 minutes. I was like, yay, I can go to the washroom. I can have a drink. I can have a snack. And that's the last I remember before being loaded onto Star's Air Ambulance. I suffered cardiac arrest. And my passengers called my dispatch and said, your bus driver's not breathing. We need help. So the rest of the bus drivers blocked all the intersections so they could get to me in 1 minute and 56 seconds, which is so I didn't suffer any brain damage. I was shocked twice on scene from cardiac arrest. And then I suffered a third in the hospital. I'm here today because of miracles. Yeah. Star's Air Ambulance took me to Calgary. I got there in 12 minutes. I now have an ICD, so I have a little paramedic on my shoulder. we went to a seminar, and the doctor said, you know, people have heart attacks when driving. He said, they won't wake up, but you'll perk up if you do suffer a heart attack. So that's sort of what happened to me on May 20th. It's been 1 month. I've been home recovering very slowly, but my 2 feet are on the ground because of a lot of really special people.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can we just say a prayer?
Absolutely.
Okay, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that miracles happen. We thank you so much for Connie and the way that you just had things ready so that she could receive such treatment, such great treatment so quickly. And we thank you for all those bus drivers who blocked the intersections to make it possible for the ambulance to get there so quickly. And we most of all just praise you and thank you for Connie's life, for your love for her, and the way that you love her and care for her. And they did miracles in her life.
And they did.
And that's not the only one. So we praise you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, and sometimes maybe we just need to hear from somebody that miracles do happen today. Sometimes they're not as dramatic as that. That's incredible. But
isn't it great to know miracles still happen? And we understand this idea of miracles and of God at work in us and us being able to hear God through the Holy Spirit. So this was the gift that God had promised us all, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men will dream dreams and your... I'm getting this backwards. But your old men will see visions. Thank you. Yeah. Like, this is happening today. And that you have the Holy Spirit within you. Sometimes we don't act as though we have the Holy Spirit in us. In fact, sometimes we act like we don't know anything, or at least sometimes I claimed I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit for a long time. And somebody explained it to me like this. So when you're baptized, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And it's a little bit like, so in my house, probably in your house, you have a water heater? Yeah? Everybody have a water heater? If not, we'll send one over right away. And my water heater has a little pilot light in it. Does yours have a pilot light? Everybody? Yes? Raise your hand if you have a pilot light. Okay, or something like that. And the pilot light is on all the time. That's like the Holy Spirit in you. But every now and then, the water gets cool in my water tank, and the whole burner comes on because the little light is there. And so when the thermostat says on, it comes on. And that's what it's like to have the Holy Spirit sort of more lively within you, is that we pray, we ask the Holy Spirit, pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Ask for the Holy Spirit to transform us. Ask the Holy Spirit that we might hear God's word. Ask the Holy Spirit that we might know the presence of God. Ask the Holy Spirit that he might bless those we love. Ask the Holy Spirit for power to live in a new way. Yes. And sometimes we miss all those things that are little miracles that are happening, or bigger miracles that are happening. When they happen to us, they feel like big miracles that's going on in our lives. And sometimes we don't even acknowledge God for that until you start to have the Holy Spirit within you. And then you start to say, I think I know where that came from. I think I know that's the power of the Spirit at work within me. And that helps us to grow in faith. And that's that whole thing of being able to trust in God. Trust in God. I believe God does intervene in our lives, sometimes subtly, sometimes almost imperceptibly, and sometimes with jaw-dropping drama. Within our Anglican Church, we struggle with this idea of the Holy Spirit and miracles sometimes. Some parts of our church do anyway. And I acknowledge that. And I acknowledge that sometimes this feels a little scary when we think, how does that happen? Why does it happen that way and not this way? And how can we be more tuned into that? But Paul calls us to live by the Spirit, to trust in God, to trust that he's there. And one of those signs, I think, of walking in the Spirit is joy, that you might feel joy. Now, I believe this is a miracle. 25 years ago, before I started coming to church, if you'd said, come to church with me, I'd gone, oh, no. Church is so boring. And so are the people there, too. I would have. That's where I would be. And then I met somebody who'd had an experience with the Holy Spirit and who'd talked to me about it. And slowly, slowly, it changed my life. And that joy is something that I've experienced for the last 25 years. I don't mean I'm jumping up and down going, yippee-ki-yo-ki-yay, every day. But there's a joy inside that I feel. And that is a part of who I am. And I think, I'm sure that comes from the Holy Spirit. And you'll know that joy as you sort of open yourself up more and more to the Holy Spirit. You can't be a Christian alone. Some people say they think they can. And I mean, if you were locked up in a prison and there was nobody else there, it wouldn't mean that you automatically stopped being a Christian. But being a Christian is about walking together on a journey. It's about accepting one another and loving one another and encouraging one another. It's about trying to listen together for the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. That's how God, or one of the ways that God continues to encourage us in this, and it's one of the ways that we try to, instead of saying, Lord, I'll do that in a minute, or I don't even know if you're really there, it's us encouraging one another to walk that path together. I'm so thankful for fellow believers who cared enough to witness to me about the power of the Holy Spirit. God is alive today. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit and how important that fruit is, because it's an indication. It demonstrates to us God, the Holy Spirit, at work in you. And remember this list. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Somebody, my sister-in-law Peggy is a farmer, and she has a tree now that has some different kinds of tree branches grafted onto it. So this one tree can give you apples, as well as, I forget what all, there's about three different kinds of fruit that this one tree can produce. And you're a bit like that. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you can produce lots of kinds of fruit, and you can produce that fruit abundantly. As you live by the Spirit, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit each day. Amen.